Good morning, Pilgrim. I'm back here again with Holiness, Its Nature, Hindrances, Difficulties, and Roots by J.C. Ryle. And we're talking about growth in grace yesterday. Today we'll discuss how we can know the marks by which growth in grace may be known. So let me take it for granted that we don't question the reality of growth in grace and its great importance to us. So far, so good. But I suppose you now want to know how anyone may find out whether he's growing in grace or not. I answer that question in the first place by observing that we're very poor judges of our own condition and that bystanders often know us better than we know ourselves. But I answer further that there are undoubtedly certain great marks, certain signs of growth in grace, and that whatever you see these, wherever you see these marks, you see a growing soul. I'll now proceed to place some of these marks before you in some kind of order. One mark of growth in grace is humility. Humility. Grace that's not easily found, is it? The man whose soul is growing, he feels his own sinfulness and worthiness more every year as time goes by. He feels his sinfulness ever more and more. He sees it more easily. He's ready to say with Job, "I'm vile." With Abraham, "I'm dust and ashes." And like Jacob, "I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." And with David, "I'm a worm." Isaiah said, "I am a man of unclean lips." Peter said, "I am a sinful man, O Lord." The nearer he draws to God, the more he sees of God's holiness and God's perfections, the more thoroughly he is sensible of his own countless imperfection, his unholiness. The further he journeys in the way to heaven, the more he understands that Paul meant what he said when he says, "I am not really perfect. I am not meet to be called an apostle. I am less than the least of all the saints. I'm chief of sinners." The riper he is for glory, the more like the ripe corn he hangs down his head. Woe is me. Yeah, can't be lifted up with pride when you realize what you really are inside. The brighter and the clearer is the light, the more he sees of the shortcomings and infirmities of his own heart. When first converted, he would tell you he saw but little of that compared to what he sees now. Would anyone know whether he's growing in grace? Would he? Be sure to look. Look within for increased humility. Let's go to Watson again. Old Thomas Watson. The right manner of growth is to grow less in one's own eyes. "I am a worm and no man." Psalm 22:6. The sight of corruption and ignorance makes a Christian grow into a dislike of himself. He does vanish in his own eyes. Job abhorred himself. He abhorred himself in the dust. This is good. This is good to grow out of conceit with oneself. So, Pilgrim, another mark of growth in grace is increased faith. Love towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The man whose soul is growing, this man finds more in Christ to rest upon every year and rejoices more that he has such a Savior. No doubt he saw much in him when he first believed. His faith laid hold on the atonement of Christ and it gave him hope. But as he grows in grace, he sees a thousand things in Christ of which at first he never dreamed of. His love, and his power, his heart, and his intentions, his offices as substitute, intercessor, priest, advocate, physician, shepherd, and friend. They all unfold themselves to a growing soul in an unspeakable manner. In short, he discovers the suitableness in Christ to the wants of his soul, of which the half was once not known to him at all. Would anyone know if he is growing in grace? Then let him look within for increased knowledge of Christ. Another mark of grace, of growing in grace, is increased holiness of life and conversation, way of living. The man whose soul is growing gets more dominion over sin, the world, the devil. Every year he grows. He becomes more careful about his temper. He watches his words and his actions. He's more watchful over his conduct in every relation of life. He strives more to be conformed to the image of Christ in all things and to follow him in, as his example, as well as to trust in men as his Savior. Now, he's not content with old attainments, what he's done before and former graces. He wants better. He forgets the things that are behind. He reaches forth unto those things which are before, moving higher, upward, forward, onward, his continual motto. On earth, he thirsts and longs to have a will more entirely in unison with God's will. In heaven, the chief thing that he looks for, next to the presence of Christ, is complete separation from all sin. Would anyone know if he is growing in grace? Let him look within for increased holiness. Again, to Thomas Watson. It is a sign of not growing in grace when we are less troubled about sin. Time was when the least sin did grieve us, as the least hair makes the eye weep. But now we can digest sin without remorse. Time was when a Christian was troubled if he neglected his prayer, and now he can omit prayer. Time was when vain thoughts didn't trouble him. Now he's troubled for loose practices. There's a sad declension in religion, and grace is so far from growing that we can hardly perceive its pulse to beat. And another mark of growth in grace is increased spirituality, of taste and mind. The man whose soul is growing takes more interest in spiritual things every year as time goes by. He doesn't neglect his duty in the world. He discharges faithfully, diligently, and conscientiously every relation of life, whether at home or abroad. But the things he loves best are spiritual things. The ways and fashions, amusements, recreations of the world have a continually decreasing place in his heart. He does not condemn them as downright sinful, nor say that those who have anything to do with them are going to hell. He only feels that they have a constantly diminishing hold on his own affections, gradually seem smaller, more trivial, and trifling in his eyes. Spiritual companions, spiritual occupations, spiritual conversation appear of ever-increasing value to him. Would anyone know if he's grown in grace? Then let him look within for increasing spirituality of taste. Another mark of growth in grace is increase of charity. The man whose soul is growing is more full of love every year, of love to all men, but especially to love towards the brethren. His love will show itself actively in a growing disposition to do kindnesses, to take trouble for others, to be good-natured to everybody, to be generous, sympathizing, thoughtful, tender-hearted, and considerate. It'll show itself passively in a growing disposition to be meek, patient toward all men, and put up with provocation and not stand upon rights, to bear and forbear much rather than to quarrel. A growing soul will try to put the best construction on other people's conduct, and to believe all things, hope all things, even to the end. There's no surer mark of backsliding and falling off in grace than an increasing disposition to find fault, pick holes, seek points in others, seek weak points in others. Would anyone know if he's grown in grace? Then let him look within for increasing charity. And there's another mark of growth in grace. Increased zeal, diligence in trying to do good for souls. The man who's really growing will take greater interest in the salvation of sinners every year. Missions at home, missions abroad. Efforts of every kind to spread the gospel, attempts of any sort to increase religious light and diminish religious darkness. All these things, will every year have a greater place in his attention. He'll not become weary in well-doing, because he does not see every effort succeed. No, he will not care less for the progress of Christ's cause on earth as he grows older. No, he will learn to expect less. He'll just work on, whatever the result's going to be. Giving, praying, preaching, speaking, visiting according to his position, and count his work its own reward. One of the surest marks of spiritual decline is a decreased interest about the souls of others and the growth of Christ's kingdom. Would anyone know whether he's grown in grace? Then let him look within for increased concern about the salvation of other people's souls. Such are the most trustworthy marks of growth in grace. Let us examine him carefully. Consider what we know about him. I can well believe that they will not please some professing Christians in the present day. Those high-flying religionists, whose only notion of Christianity is that of a state of perpetual joy and ecstasy, who tell you that they have got far beyond the region of conflict and soul humiliation, such persons no doubt will regard the marks I've laid down as legalism, carnal, gendering to bondage. I can't help that. I call no man master in these things. I only wish my statements to be tried in the balance of Scripture, and I firmly believe that what I have said is not only scriptural, but agreeable to the experience of the most eminent saints in every age. Show me a man in whom the six marks I've mentioned can be found. He is the man who can give a satisfactory answer to the question, do we grow in grace or not? Do we grow? Yes. We do grow. We die. Well, tomorrow we get on with this, the means that must be used by those who desire to grow in grace. But meantime, I'll leave you to think about what we went over today. God bless, pilgrim. Have a blessed day with our Lord Jesus Christ. Such a wonderful person to spend time with, our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless.